It's Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is the LCJ Q&A podcast. You can also read these interviews at animationscoop.com. Woody Woodpecker is back, one of the most beloved animated characters of all time, in a new live-action animated comedy movie for the whole family. Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp. Summer is here early, and it premieres Friday, April 12th on Netflix. Joining me, the director of the movie, two-time Emmy Award nominee, John Rosenbaum. Hi, John.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Congratulations on this. I love the Woody Woodpecker shirt that you have. That's awesome.
This was the, when I got hired, this was the first thing that I bought. And I said, I'm going to put it on as we get closer to the final release. So it's been a long time coming. It was a long journey. So I'm glad I get to wear it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I want to show you this as well. A friend of mine sometimes sent stationery with animated characters on them. So I've got Woody and Winnie here with me as well.
Nice, nice. Hey, look, if there's, you know, if this does well and there's another installment in the franchise, I would love to bring Winnie into the picture.
Woo! You heard it here first for the third Woody Woodpecker movie. But let's talk about this second one and the decision to make the second one, you coming on board, the first one, which came out 2017, 2018 in a lot of markets. I saw it and it was a big hit. And they bring you on board for this sequel and it's all about summer camp. So early thoughts for you as far as attacking a Woody Woodpecker movie.
Well, first of all, we should clarify, it's actually not a sequel. You know, the first movie in 2017 was beloved. It obviously did really well for Netflix, thankfully.
Yeah.
So Netflix and the folks at Universal who own the IP decided, you know what, let's do another one, you know, keeping Woody, but brand new adventure. And this time, which will be a treat for everybody, the powers that be said, let's bring in two more of the animated characters from the cartoon. So we have Buzz Buzzard is our cartoon villain. And we have Wally Walrus, who is a fan favorite, and he'll be joining the party as well for this one. So I was thrilled, man. Look, I grew up with Woody Woodpecker. I'm a huge fan. He is the craziest cartoon character out there. He's an agent of chaos. And, you know, the mission was, how do we stay faithful to the cartoon and capture his energy, but also making a heartfelt, funny family comedy that's not just about slapstick hijinks, that actually has a message and a cool story and some, you know, some good characters. So that's what we set out to do.
Yeah, I watched the movie a few nights ago, and what impressed me about it, one of the aspects, is the fact that you bring in these two new cartoon characters, bring them to life in CG to join Woody. You have Buzz, you have Wally, and they're so energetic and they're so fun. And I'm sure in working with the animators, you're amping things up. Because if you saw the first movie, and again, yes, this is a completely different story. It was Woody as the sole CG character. Now you add two more. That's a lot more for the animators, a lot more of a challenge, and you pull it off.
Well, thanks to the animators. I mean, these guys were unbelievable. Very talented team all across the world. We had, you know, we had the U.S., we had Bulgaria, we had Australia, South Africa. We really wanted to capture the energy. Anytime you translate something from the two-dimensional cartoon world to the 3D and hybrid live action world, it's challenging because it inherently looks different. And, you know, something that you can do in 2D as a drawing, it, you know, isn't necessarily what you can pull up with an actual person. But we employed a lot of really cool strategies, including for Buzz and Wally, who are human size. Right. We had these two performance, I don't even know what you call them, body actors, like amazingly talented guys who studied the cartoons, and I would give them references of specific, you know, mannerisms and whatnot. And they did sort of our motion capture for us, where we would do takes with them in the scene, really becoming human cartoons. I mean, it was unbelievable what these guys did. So the animators, when we got to that stage, had a really good reference as to what we wanted Buzz to do when he's interacting with, you know, some of the adults, or what Wally would do. They would walk like them. They would, you know, as much as humanly possible, try to do the elastic, crazy physical comedy stuff. And then, of course, the animators, you know, took it from there and went crazy with it. But it was fun. It was really cool. And I'm excited for them to see the final product as well, because they get to see how they turned into a cartoon.
That's amazing. Gosh, I'd love to see that video. I think fans would love to see that video too, of them doing the movements and feeling it out and then bringing the animation involved. And then you bring the voice actors in. Eric Bauza, who's been here on the podcast. Tom Kenny's been here on the podcast. Kevin Michael Richardson is an amazing voice actor as well. Their skill sets for these characters must have blown you away.
Well, they're legends. I mean, as someone who loves cartoons, as I know you do, you just even... the fact that they were willing to do it was phenomenal. I mean, Eric voiced Woody in the first movie. Right. So he was very familiar with kind of what we were doing. But first they laid we call it a scratch track, where we gave them the script and they just kind of recorded, you know, just blindly the lines, so that our people on set could kind of memorize their mannerisms and try to get the timing to match what these guys would eventually do. So that allowed the other actors to play off them, and it allowed the animators to actually animate to them. And then we went back and did full recording sessions. And oh my God, I mean, first of all, just the, you know, whatever we put forward is one level. And then you hand it to the, you know, superstar talents like these guys, and they just find stuff you couldn't even have imagined comedy wise. I mean, SpongeBob, you know, we were all fanboying and fangirling about him. Eric is a legend. And Kevin Michael Richardson, unbelievable. I mean, you saw what he was doing with Buzz. I mean, he really captured the cartoon villainous of him. I just love working with these guys. I hope we get to do more.
Yeah. They're so fun to listen to. The characters are, it's so zany, especially Woody. Woody is so zany. And there are so many moments where it's the quick 5-second bits that he does reacting to something. How do you come up with those? Do you have to reject a bunch and that whole process?
Well, one thing that we set out to do differently than the movie in 2017 was we realized that in this movie or in this story, Woody was very central. I mean, obviously he was a big part of the first movie, but it was, you know, he would come and go sometimes. And here was really his story, is a redemption story of learning about teamwork and getting to go back to his home after causing all this chaos. So we realized, well, he's going to be present in not only like every scene, but a lot of, you know, every shot almost he's going to be in. So how do we keep the funniness going? How do we make him zany and crazy and funny without being completely annoying? You know, he's got to have some redeeming qualities. So, you know, our idea, which is, I think, what the cartoons were setting out to do, is that he's not a jerk. He means well. Like, he comes from, he's just not the smartest bird on the planet, and he's just a whirlwind. He's a tornado of chaos. So anytime we could try to find a gag for him or a reaction shot, you know, I was pushing for that, and the cast was pushing for that. And then we would try to shoehorn as much as possible. You know, of course there was, you know, budget and schedule limitations with the animators. So we had to, you know, beg to keep as much as we humanly could into the movie. And to their credit, they really serviced, you know, the lion's share of what we were setting out to do. So we were happy. There's a lot of sight gags and a lot of funny moments, hopefully, that the, you know, kids and family will enjoy.
Is it true you filmed this in Australia?
We did. You know, this was one of the challenges for making this movie was, as many films endured, this was during COVID. So when we were ready to film, initially it was supposed to shoot in the States, and then, you know, a lot of the complications with the rules for various states and whatnot. What our producer, who's actually from New York, much like yourself, I believe, he has done a ton of work in Australia. In fact, he's kind of a mainstay there now. And he said, why don't we try Australia? They're very, you know, they've got a great crew system down there. There's good talent down there that can not necessarily seem like they're in Australia. There's good tax credits. The locations are fun. They had a really good system set up for COVID protection, which was important to us on a family movie. And also the other benefit is, by the time the script was ready to go, we were already getting into our winter. So we needed their summer. So we're like, hey, this is perfect. And I got to tell you, I had never even been to Australia, but because of COVID, there wasn't a lot shooting there. A lot of the productions hadn't been greenlit yet. So we got really fortunate to have an incredible crew. I mean, our cinematographer worked on The Matrix, did one of the Wolverine movies. you know, a lot of our stunt crew was on Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, it was just ridiculous, the talent. And I was constantly in awe of, you know, who was coming out to play on a small movie like this. So
I'm just trying to picture Woody in a Mad Max setting now, which is hilarious.
Well, I probably shouldn't say this, but when we did the sound mix with an amazing sound team, who, by the way, have won an Oscar, they also did the new Mad Max movie that's coming out. And apparently, because they had so much fun on Woody, they told me they were going to try and sneak one of our signature Woody Woodpecker sound effects into the Mad Max movie. So I'm going to be listening with a very astute ear to see if I can pick out the one Woody sound that makes it to Mad Max.
Yes. Furiosa opens May 24th in theaters, and Woody fans are going to be first in line to try to hear as Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth are battling it out. Yes.
That's right. It's a marriage made in heaven.
John Rosenbaum is here with me on the LCJ Q&A podcast. Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp is on Netflix on April 12th. We've got these rival camps, Woohoo, Hoorah, and you've got Mary Louise Parker leading the live action cast, and she is all game for this, food fight and all.
Yes, she is. I mean, first of all, talk about, hitting above our weight. Or wait, whatever the phrase is. I mean, we were just lucky to have, I mean, Tony, Emmy, Golden Globes winner, Weeds. She was a star. And it was interesting for me because someone with that kind of pedigree and resume, you know, to come to a movie like this, but also where it's not about the humans per se. I mean, obviously it's a story about the kids and whatnot, but the central figure is a fantasy character. It's a cartoon character. And it was really interesting to see her adjust to that, where she finally clicked in. Oh, yes, this is just this little cartoon bird that's not really there when we're shooting this. And man, she just took it from there. Also, I will say she was lovely with the kid cast, you know, in real life, which I didn't know when we cast her. She runs a summer camp, on the side sometimes for kids, especially, theater kids. She's just got that maternal, warm, loving instinct. And the kids took to her and they all bonded, which created a really nice atmosphere that was appropriate for what we were trying to, you know, to say about camp and teamwork and all that stuff. She was great. We even put her son in the movie.
Yes, I think I know he's the character who comes in and delivers a lot of items, right?
Yeah. That's right. He was, first of all, talented young man. And also, since we wrapped the movie, he's done as a director a couple movies of his own, which are fantastic. So he is a talent to watch who might end up on this podcast as well at some point.
Cool. Yes. You mentioned the theme of teamwork. I also think one of the themes you get out of this film is humans and animals just getting along, that coexistence. How important was that theme for you?
We had a lot of discussions going in about, you know, how do we treat the fact that, you know, there's a talking bird, there's also a life-sized buzzard and a life-sized walrus. And that's actually one of the main differences between this movie and the last one. In the last one, we can understand Woody, but the humans can't. When he talks, he's just, you know, it's just bird gibberish. And we felt that since Woody and the other characters were such big parts of the story, that we had to just own the conceit that everybody understands everybody. Yeah. We don't even shine a light on it. And we said, look, let's just treat this as normal. So, you know, when Wally shows up as the camp inspector, there's never like a moment where like, oh, wait a minute, that's a talking, walking walrus. That's just what he looks like, you know? So that's what it is. And Buzz Buzzer, yeah, he's a little weird. He looks a little different than the rest of us, but all the other characters treated him as almost like a pseudo human. So, you know, I think in effect, we did create what you just said, is that everyone just sort of is part of the same universe. And even though the cartoons, when they fight each other or have moments with each other, can get a little out of our realistic world rules, we felt that created a reality for at least for this movie.
Yeah, you just go with it and it works and it works. Yeah. Through the dialogue, through the interactions, through what happens in the story, you go with it and you have a fun time. This is going to be something families are going to embrace this summer. What are your plans for the summer after this movie comes out?
Well, I know what I'm doing April 12th. I'll be watching. We were really hoping that it would have timed out where I'd still be in Australia, because the cast and crew, they're so lovely and they're all especially the kids. They all formed a group chat on Instagram and on phone. So, and we've all kept in touch. So, you know, it'd be nice to see it with them. We might even do a live, you know, watching of the premiere or the launch, just to see everyone's reactions. But, you know, look, this is still working. I've got some projects in the works right now that hopefully will go into production sooner than later, maybe the summer. We are hoping that people will resonate. You know, it's a broad comedy, but we try to keep the heart and, you know, some groundedness to the story around all the craziness. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, bird doing crazy stuff and cartoon violence. So hopefully families will enjoy it. I mean, they loved the first one. So the hope is that they'll want to see another installment.
I think they will have a smile on their faces the entire time. And before we go, I wanted to mention that I went to Universal Studios Orlando when I was very young and rode the Nut House Coaster ride. And it's still one of my favorite roller coasters of all time. Did you ever go on that ride?
I've been to Universal. That was the first, I guess, amusement park, if you will, that I'd been to. I don't recall that ride, but recently, it was a special moment. I was down there shooting a sitcom on the Universal lot, and on the weekend I went to the studio lot where you can walk around, there's all the stores and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they had a big Woody display, and I was super excited because a lot of the kids were like playing with the doll. And I realized, I mean, this character is from 1940, was the first time that he was, you know, birthed into the world. And the idea that, you know, in 2024, hopefully there's some nostalgia from, you know, people our age and older, but the younger audience, we can expose them to this, you know, new character and get some new love from the new generation. So that made me feel nice that maybe we had, you know, done something to serve that.
Very cool. I think this is going to be a big hit. Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp, Friday, April 12th on Netflix. John Rosenbaum, congratulations on this. Thank you for being here today on the LCJ Q&A, and have a good time at your showing of Furiosa in May as well.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Light Camera Jackson. For all these episodes, go to Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, lights-camera-jackson.com, and read the interviews at animationscoop.com. Thank you for listening to the LCJ Q&A.